Come on around back, Arizona homeowners, and join me in the Outdoor Living Hour here at Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 29 years. I'm Romy. Rosie's right here. He usually takes a nap after, he's probably getting his credit card out to go buy a bunch of art after the content of last hour's topic. If you're not in a market that carries our 7 o'clock hour, you can go to rosieonthehouse.com and get the podcast. We had a great guest in from the Scottsdale's
Museum of the West.
Museum of the West.
And she didn't even tell you about their library.
Oh, they got a library.
You better. Fortunately, none of the books were for sale. And it's not a loaner library. It's a research-only library.
Oh, shoo.
You won't go bankrupt now, Mom.
But like Romy says, I usually kind of take a rest during the outdoor living segment because I'm not very much of a green thumb. As a matter of fact, I'm not a green thumb at all. But Greg, you would be blown away if I would ever show you a bag of my compost.
Oh yeah, I'm in.
I make the most beautiful compost on the planet. I just can't grow anything with it.
Gotta love it.
You gotta have beauty and functionality. They gotta go together. They gotta work. Jennifer is taking your calls at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888 Rosie for you. Text questions to 411-923, or you can email pictures to info@rosieonthehouse.com. If you've got a question for our urban farmer, Mr. Greg Peterson, welcome.
Oh, please send over your composting questions today.
1-888-767-4348.
Yay.
Now, when I got your topics for composting, you know, a lot of times that would have worried me. Like, oh, how are we going to make composting interesting?
Oh,
but
my
you've
gosh.
Got a way with verbs and your passion. I wasn't worried about it.
Yeah.
Take it away.
There you go. So, well, you know, composting is stuff breaking down, right? And there's a way that things break down at the urban farm that they don't necessarily break down everywhere else. And I like to call this a regenerative process. Regenerative is a term that I learned about 25 years ago in my permaculture design course. And just to distinguish it for you real quickly, human beings design degenerative systems. So if you look into our culture, if you look into everything we've ever created, we create everything so it breaks down over time and doesn't regenerate itself. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So the way that nature does things is in a regenerative way. So it recreates itself over time.
Okay.
Without any human input. And the problem with this regenerative, degenerative process that we're looking at is that over time, it takes more time, more money, more everything to make our degenerative systems move forward. And I'm talking about roads and pipelines and health systems and, you know, all of the infrastructure that we've ever created as human beings. So that's kind of the overarching umbrella notion of composting at my house.
Regenerative. Okay.
And if you're interested in learning more about that, look into permaculture. We have a permaculture design course that we do every fall. There's a lot of information out there about regenerative design. And I like to compare this regenerative to the word sustainable. So I went to school in 2000 through 2006 at Arizona State University as they were creating the School of Sustainability. And this whole notion of sustainability is supposed to be a really good thing, right?
Supposed to.
Supposed to be. And I see it as a really good stopgap measure between not doing anything and really designing what needs to be designed, which are these regenerative systems. Because sustainable simply sustains the mess that we're in. It doesn't create another future. All right. So that, again, that's the umbrella piece to how I compost at my urban farm. It's like, all right, you're looking at me like, how's he going to connect this to composting?
No, I was actually thinking about something that, did you ever know a gentleman by the name of Mick Dalrymple?
Oh, of course I know Mick.
Okay.
Absolutely.
He always said something when talking about recycling and everything that just along those lines is all these things are great, but that doesn't change the 50,000 structures I can see staring out the window right here looking over Arizona. We've got to work with what we have.
Right, exactly. And this really what I'm doing today is planting the seeds for this notion of regenerative design. And I'm going to plug it into this whole composting system at the Urban Farm. I do want to say real quickly, though, you mentioned recycling. And Mick and I have talked about this a lot in the past. But I like to tell people we need to stop recycling. And that stops people in their tracks. It's like, whoa, hold on here. Time out.
Now what? I got your attention.
Now I got your attention. Exactly. Now, do I really think we need to stop recycling? No, but it's last in the process. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Right? And we automatically just go to recycle. Go to degenerative. So if we reduced first, reused second, and then recycled, that's starting to think more regeneratively.
Got it. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Right. Recycles last. Right. Exactly. So how does this all apply to composting at the Urban Farm? Yes, I have a compost bin, and we're going to talk composting, traditional composting here in a little while.
Okay.
I do have a compost bin, but that's the last place anything goes at the Urban Farm.
Okay.
So here's how the process works. The food comes in the front door. Either I've harvested from the yard, and we're harvesting things out of the yard every day. I made some great pesto the other day, some basil out of the front yard. So we harvest things, we go to the grocery store, we process stuff, and we end up with this pile of food scraps. So those food scraps can go one of three places in my yard, actually one of four places in my yard. First of all, they'll go to the chickens. And the chickens love the food scraps. They'll process through, and what do they make for me?
Chicken manure.
Fertilizer for my farm. Exactly. Exactly. So that's the first place they'll go. The second place I'll put food scraps is in the worm bin. It's called vermicomposting. We'll talk more about that in a little while. And what the worms do is they break down the food waste to what's called worm castings or worm poop, which is really, really, really good fertilizer.
You know, this reminded me of something. You signed up for the Heirloom Festival Rosa, California,
yeah.
Coming up. Right in that community, there is a company called Mass Wiggle.
Oh, yeah. I've talked to them before.
We're going to get a tour set up ahead of that. It's a dairy farm.
Woo-hoo!
That they converted into a worm casting, mm-hmm. What do you call it, factory?
I'll call it that.
Worm casting plant, worm casting
exactly.
production site.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and worm castings, they call them gardener's gold. Worm castings are one of the most incredible things for your garden. The way it works is as the worms consume the food, they add biological matter to the poop, and it makes it really biologically active fertilizer.
And not that I think you need to attend that expo. I just know you can bring so much back.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that I think
you need
it.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, you got me a ticket, man.
I mean, I'll get this much out of it because that's my level of understanding.
That's about 8 inches.
Where you'll get
6 feet.
Lot more.
All right, cool. So that's number two. The third place.
And okay, one is the chickens, two is the worms.
Right. The third place is to my soldier fly bin. Soldier flies are the coolest thing on the planet for feeding fish and for feeding chickens. And what soldier flies do, they look more like a wasp. They're not a house fly. They don't bug you. And if you've ever had a compost bin, you've seen soldier fly grubs. And so a soldier fly bin, basically you put raw food scraps into the soldier fly bin. And the soldier flies show up and they lay their eggs in there. And then these little wiggly things hatch about 3 weeks later. And they consume food like amazingly. And they grow from a little speck to about a half inch long in 21 days, and when they're ready to climb out of the muck and transition to being not the little grub in there, but a bigger grub, they want to climb up out. So you put a ramp at the end, and they climb up into your bucket. And they're like 50% protein, and the chickens go nuts for them.
So another food source for your
exactly.
fertilizer creation.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And then the fourth place that the compost goes, or the chicken...
Is the bin.
Is the compost
traditional
bin.
Traditional compost bin.
Although the food waste never makes it to the traditional compost bin.
The chickens take care of that and the soldier flies.
Right. Exactly. And then periodically what I do is I rake up all of the litter from the chicken coop area, and that is what goes... It actually goes in one of two places. It either goes in the compost bin or I use it in the basins around my fruit trees. because it's power packed with nitrogen, and it, you know, it's like a mulch around the basins of my fruit trees.
And going onto a tree as opposed to a garden bed, you know, it takes, you can do that without having to compost it. It takes a long time for that.
Exactly.
Reach the
so
roots.
So you don't ever want to put straight chicken manure in your gardens. It will burn your vegetables. What I do with it, it's mixed with hay and leaves, and you know, because that's what I put in the chicken run. And then I put it around the base of the fruit trees so it sits on top and then percolates down slowly. So
now,
great question.
Coolest composter I've ever seen was actually one my sister had, and I cannot find it. It's a Saphir. You search that and you can get all kinds of drums that you turn. Mm-hmm. This one was a Saphir that was on a rotating ball. She would just pour it in and it would turn it 360.
Wow.
It was very
cool. You
could
roll it along in the yard.
You know, it was on its own. You could.
Yeah.
You could, but it was on its own rolling stand. So just with one hand, she could sit there and turn it. I cannot find. I mean, I've searched them online. I've looked it up. Everyone's like, well, there's drum. I'm like, I know there's drums. I'm not looking for drum. I'm looking for a Saphir composter.
Yeah.
Very cool. What? Wow. What? Tell me about your composter. Is it a traditional one? Do you go out there and do it by hand? Or do you, Tom Sawyer, your students to turn it for you?
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. In fact, I have a young man that's helping me at the Urban Farm, and one of his projects is going to be to set up the compost bin here in the next few weeks. So, I don't do traditional composting. So let's define that real quickly.
Okay.
Traditional composting is you add 60% carbon material and 40% greens, green grass, kitchen scraps. Chicken manure is considered a green. You have to mix it up really nicely, and you put it all in your bin. You make sure it's sponge wet all the time so that it can break down. And then after about 6 weeks, the heat starts going down because the microbes have processed all of the stuff in it. And then you have to turn it. And, it, you know, it's this bit of an arduous process.